We've been preaching, entitled these messages, Good News Worth Sharing. Good News Worth Sharing. We have been looking at this good news for a couple of weeks. And in this gospel, for which the Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of, we have noted, first of all, the power of God. We've also noted not only the power of God, but the purpose and the plan of this gospel of Christ, which is salvation. It's the power of God unto salvation. It's the purpose and the plan of God in this message for our salvation. So in this gospel of Christ, in this good news, we see the power, the purpose, and the plan for salvation to everyone that believeth. So this morning, we want to spend some time and look at the promise that we see in this good news. The promise that we find. The great promise of the gospel of Christ, this good news is this, salvation to everyone that believeth. That's the message. There's the promise in this gospel of Christ, salvation to everyone that believeth. No one is beyond the reach of God, of the grace of God, the gospel of grace. I don't care how far down you may think you've been. I don't care how high up you may think you are. I don't care anything about you're not. No one is beyond the reach of God's grace. And we used to sing a song back home, and somebody changed the version. They said, from the uttermost to the guttermost. And God can save. It doesn't matter where you're at. No one is out of the reach or beyond the reach of God's grace. So let's note the words of our Savior. He said over in Revelation chapter 22, and verse number 17, the last chapter in the Bible. Jesus said these words. The Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride is the church, the bride of Christ, the redeemed, the believers. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Jesus also said over in John's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse number 37, Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise, no way, no wise cast out. Amen. That's great news. That's good news. If you want to be saved, you want to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and be forgiven of your sin, He says, if you'll come, I'll in no wise cast you out. There's the promise. The Bible says, Paul here in verse number 16, he said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And here's the promise to everyone that believeth. What a good news. What a great message. What a message to preach to a lost and dying world. The promise in this good news is that everyone who hears the message can be saved by God's grace. Now, many have argued over that phrase or that term found in verse number 16. I said I was going to mention it. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. I had a preacher friend, Brother Joel Olvashay, many years ago, he had a radio broadcast, and he would always come on quoting verse number 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first. And he kind of emphasized that because he was a Jew. He was a converted Jew. And he said, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And a lot of people have stumbled and have kind of argued over that term, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Well, don't let this phrase or this term bother you too much. God did not give the gospel to the Jews first in reference to priority. That's not what he's talking about at all. He gave the gospel to the Jews first in reference of time or to time. Jesus said over in John chapter 1 and verse number 11, or the scripture says about Jesus in John 1:11, that he, Christ, came unto his own, the Jews, and his own received him not. God had been dealing with the Jews since the days of Abraham, when he, by his grace, a very good picture of just out of, there Abraham was down in a pagan land, the Ur of the Chaldees, and God revealed to him, spoke to him, called him a picture of grace, and said, I want you to get out of your own country, and I'm going to show you a land. Before that time, there wasn't a Jew on the face of the earth. Everybody was a Gentile. And God chose and God called a man by the name of Abraham, and the Jewish nation, the Jewish people began. So God's been dealing with the Jews since the days of Abraham. And when he sent his Messiah, when God finally sent his Messiah, the Jewish people rejected him. They were looking for a ruling king, a conquering king. They weren't looking for a babe born in a lonely stable in Bethlehem. They were looking for a king to come and occupy the throne in Jerusalem. They rejected him. Now the Lord has turned to the Gentile people. Not that the Jews cannot be saved. They can be saved by the same grace of God that you and I can. But they, as a nation, they've been blinded, and we know that. The Lord's turned to the Gentile people and offered this salvation. And Jesus, the word scripture says in John 1 and verse number 12, but as many as receive him, he came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. To everyone, even to them that believe on his name. Therefore, salvation is available to every person on the face of the earth. That's good news. That's the gospel. That's what we proclaim. That's why we send missionaries. That's why we have a Christian school. That's why we preach on the radio. That's why we preach on the internet. That's why we open the doors every week and compelling and asking people to come in. That's why we pass out gospel tracts. We've got great news that people, everybody can be saved. These verses are very clear. Salvation is for anyone regardless of race. Black man, yellow man, red man, polka dotted man. It doesn't matter what race can be saved. It doesn't matter their social standing, from the richest to the poorest. It doesn't matter about our education. My old granddaddy had a third grade education, and he got saved just like the Harvard scholar would get saved. It doesn't matter. Our wickedness, and it doesn't matter what you might think will hinder you. If you'll trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, salvation can be yours. There is nothing that can prevent anyone who needs salvation from being born again and experiencing the forgiveness of the Lord. The promise in the good news is for everyone, every man, everywhere, thank God. Not just my four and no more, but he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, if there had been any restrictions on salvation, I'm telling you this morning, you and I would be left out. If there had been any qualifications before salvation, you and I, we're just without hope. We'd have been left out. And I'm glad that salvation by grace through faith is free and foolproof. Free and foolproof. So we see the promise. Now, I want to spend a few minutes and look at the product. The product of this good news. What is the product? The product of the gospel of Christ. Paul said, I am a debtor. He said, and therefore I am ready to preach the gospel, and I'm not ashamed of this gospel. There's a product found here. And we see it in verse number 17. It talks about this product, the product of the gospel of Christ in the life of a believer is righteousness. Verse number 17, the Bible says, for therein. That's the good news. That's the gospel. For therein is the righteousness of God, revealed from faith to faith. As it is written. You know where that's written? The just shall live by faith. Where is it first found in the Bible? Huh? Anybody can tell me? Habakkuk? Huh? Chapter 2, verse number 4. The just shall live by faith. So let's look at that verse again. For therein, in the gospel, in the good news that we preach, it says, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Think about the product. You know, mankind has two great problems. Two great problems. Number one. Man thinks he is righteous in his own self, and therefore is acceptable to God. Mankind thinks that I don't need God. I'm righteous. I'm good enough. God is a God of love. He'll accept us just the way we are. I don't need the blood. I don't need Christ. And they think that they are righteous. That's problem number one. Problem number two, they're absolutely wrong about number one. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we're all doomed. We're all deserving of hell. There is no righteousness at all. Man is not righteous and cannot produce righteousness by his self-will or his own works. However, though, there's good news. There's hope. However, when faith is placed in the message, when faith is placed in this good news, the gospel of Christ, and believed in the heart, God takes that sinner and declares him or her to be righteous. That's good news. I mean, what man cannot do by effort, he can try all day long. God does by His power. One of my favorite passages of Scripture. You might want to turn there. If you're not, just listen. I want to read. Paul is also the writer in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What a description here. Chapter 6, verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. The Apostle Paul said, know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And that's a question. Because the man thinks that they're righteous in their own doings, in their own efforts, in their own. And Paul said, know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, he says. There's a world out there that's been deceived. They think, I don't need God. I don't need the cross. I don't need the blood. I don't need Christ. I'll make it on my own efforts. I'm my own man. I'll do it myself. That's deceived, being deceived. And Paul said, be not deceived. He goes on to give a description here. He said, neither fornicators, nor infeminine, or abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit a whole list. We said in Sunday school, there's none of us that are blameless. We're all sinners. You say, well, they didn't name any. Most of us are there. Most of us are there. But verse number 11 says, "And such were some of you." And such were some of you. Some of you were. Some of you before Christ saved you were just messed up. I was messed up. In my own righteousness, I was going straight to hell. Listen, if I had died at the age of 8, I got saved when I was 7. I'd been in hell right along with the drunkards or the fornicators. And I'd never had drunk. I never had fornicated. But I was lost. The Bible says, "But such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified." That word justified, that's a legal term. It means just as if. When God looks at us, although we might have been a fornicator, a thief, name it. When God looks at us and when we've put our faith in the finished work of Christ and the blood has washed us and cleansed us, when God looks at us, He declares us justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Now that's hard for you and I to get a grasp on, because we remember what we were. We remember what we used to do. But God says, "What sins are you talking about?" Amen. Just as if we'd never sinned. "You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God." Isn't that a beautiful passage of Scripture? I mean, you talk about beautiful. Paul said over in Romans 8, verse number 33, Paul said, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Now, who's going to argue with God? Who's going to argue with God? It is God that justifies. Simply put, everything that man looks for in religion. Religion is very popular today. Relationship with Christ is not so popular. But religion is very popular. And everything that man looks for in religion, peace with God, acceptance by God, a right relationship with God, you name it. Just goes right on down the line. Everything that man looks for in religion, it's all given to the believer when we receive the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. This is not a message that we should set on. This is a message that's worth sharing. I was thinking about Josiah Wambua when he was here visiting with us, and he preached it from the Old Testament, how the Syrian army had surrounded Samaria. And there was a bunch of leopards outside, and they went to the camp, and they were the army had left and left all their provisions, and there was a famine in the land. They hadn't eaten, and they enjoyed that. And they finally came to them and said, "We do not goods to set here. There's people back there in Samaria that's dying, eating donkey heads and dove's dung. And we need to share this good news with them." Now listen. We have this gospel of Christ is a message worth sharing. It's worth preaching. It's worth sending, sacrificing, and giving of ourselves, giving of our money, sending the gospel around the world. What does that phrase there in verse number 17, Romans chapter 1, verse 17, "from faith to faith," what does that really mean? Have you ever thought about it? The simplest way to put it, I believe it simply refers to the fact that a believer's life is one of faith in God. As life is lived in faith, in the righteousness of God is revealed in the believer's life from beginning faith to ending faith. I told you in Sunday school, or before Sunday school, I had a good friend, Brother Norman Wilson. He went home to be with the Lord just a couple of weeks ago. He was 70 years old. Norman Wilson got saved as a very young man. He was probably about 7-8 years of age. Norman Wilson grew up in the Blue Ridge Mountains. And all he had ever known, because he come from a long line, his family was preachers and church workers, and he grew up in church. But all he ever known was a life of ministry. And as a young man, right out of high school, he began, he picked up the gift of playing the mandolin. And he was a great tenor voice. And they used to sing at homecomings and revival meetings and tent meetings and special events. He later became part of known as the Primitive Quartet. The Primitive Quartet is probably one of the well-known quartets, bluegrass gospel. Primitive because they don't use any electrical instruments. Rhythm guitar and a fiddle and not a violin, a fiddle. And I want Hannah to learn how to play that violin fiddle style. A bass, upright bass, and banjo, and a couple of things. But he became part of the Primitive Quartet. There's Larry Riddle, Mike Riddle, Reagan Riddle, and then there was Norman Wilson. He was kind of the outsider. It was the Riddle Boys, and they began to sing. But here's the thing. As their popularity grew, and they've been singing together for over 40 years, and I probably cut 50 albums or more. And as their popularity grew, and they began to be noticed by Nashville, and they received several of Dove Awards and all of this stuff for their music, they never got away from their local church. Many of the singing groups would just travel around, and you never saw them back at their local church. But Mike and Larry and Reagan and Norman was always on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings and on midweek Bible study and prayer time. They were in their local church. They loved their local church. They was going everywhere else. And they lived that life, singing the gospel. I mean, it was just a beautiful thing. I've known them, I've known of them, and then I became acquainted with them, and they loved us, and they just wonderful guys. Norman the other Wednesday was on a bear hunt. He was an outdoorsman. He loved the outdoors. He loved to fish and loved to hunt. The dogs had a bear in a tree. He made his way up the ridge. Got up there, and they began to pull the dogs off, and Norman was just loving just the experience in that. He said, "I'm going to sit down here and catch my breath." Norman laid back and died. Massive heart attack. Went home to be with the Lord. No pain. He would have hated. He would have hated being in a nursing home. I mean, he would have hated to have been in a hospital. But all my life, over 8,000 people tuned in by way of internet to be at his funeral. I watched it twice. 2.5 hours. Dignitaries from all over the state of North Carolina came. People came from all over the place. Probably 2,000 or 3,000 people there in the service alone. From faith, beginning faith, right on through his childhood, his teenage years, his young adulthood, his middle age, right up until ending faith. From faith to faith. I love the Lord and know more about the Lord today than I did 40 years ago. And the day I die and I open my eyes, I'll have perfect knowledge. But faith, the just shall live by faith. That's simply what it's talking about. Beginning faith. Faith is to be a way of life for the child of God. Not just something that we pick up on Sunday morning and put on and get home Sunday evening and take off. It is a way of life for the child of God. So we have seen, we have been given this good news. Paul said, first of all, he recognized, he said, I'm a debtor. I owe mankind something. Not because, it was because of what he had received. He said, I've got to tell them. I'm a debtor to them. And I'm ready to preach the gospel. He says in verse number 17, he said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I cannot do one thing. I cannot save one person. We mentioned one of ours, Kelsey Trojan. Kelsey got saved about 7 years of age right here in this church. And he came to me just before he went off to college. And I knew what he meant. He said, preacher, thank you for saving me. That's not what he meant. That's just the way it came out. But what he meant is, thank you for preaching the gospel and sharing with me the gospel. I can't save I couldn't save nobody. But I know one who can. It's the power of God unto salvation, this good news. So we've been given this good news. Worth believing. It's worth sharing. The questions that we want to ask ourselves this morning, as we bring all these thoughts together, let me ask you, are you trusting the gospel of Christ? Or are you trusted in your own efforts, in your own goodness, in your own abilities, your own talents? Maybe you say, well, I come from a very prominent Christian family. I can't help that. But have you trusted Jesus Christ? You personally, do you realize all of your family can go to heaven and you can be the only one to go to hell because you haven't personally put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you trusting the gospel of Christ for salvation? Let me ask you this. Ask us all that. Are we sharing the gospel of Christ? There shouldn't be a day, a week go by. Say, well, I just don't have opportunity. Ask the Lord to give you opportunity. Look for opportunity. Take opportunity. Make opportunity. Somebody out there. Yesterday, while we were at the swap meet, I liked the way I didn't stay at the table too much. I mingled around and I walked around. I talked to people. I want to find an opportunity. I don't want to stay back to myself. I've got something worth sharing. We've got something worth sharing. Are we sharing the gospel of Christ? For it is the power of God unto salvation. That's the only way people's going to be born again. Or are we ashamed of the gospel? Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Sometimes I think we have trouble. We're preacher, I'll be embarrassed. Embarrassed about what? I just can't do it. Are we ashamed? Are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? The same good news message that was able to save the Apostle Paul on that Damascus road can save now. It's never lost its power. because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Now, is everybody going to be saved? No. We know that. But everyone that believeth will. Amen. Because it's the power of God unto salvation. And I don't know who's going to believe. I don't know who's not going to believe. But my job is to give the gospel. Your job is to share the gospel. Never forget my very first experience of literally trying to lead somebody to the Lord. My friend Jerry Holland. Jerry was a good boy. He was one of those hard boys to read because he's like me. We both went to church 9 months before he was ever born. You understand? Like Julie's little girl, right? She's been in church more than some of you. Jerry was the same way. There wasn't anything I could tell him that he didn't already know. He said, he didn't call me preacher then. He was just 19 years old. He said, Dick, I don't have what you have. He said, I want that joy. I want the assurance of knowing that if I was to die, I'd go to heaven. And the best way I knew, I opened the book of Romans, and I've been taught the Romans road and went, you know. And I started, and I started giving. Next thing I know, and I looked down, and he was on his knees praying, crying out to God. I wanted to say, wait a minute, I ain't finished. Let me do my thing. Then I realized, I ain't doing it. It's the power of God unto salvation. The joy of telling somebody, having a part in telling somebody about the Lord. The same power that worked in Paul's life is working today. Well, preacher, we're not seeing that many saved. No, we might not be, but they're coming to the Lord in groves and other places. Do you realize in the Middle East how many right now are coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're doing it with the threat of losing their own life? And many of them saying, no, we will not convert to Islam. No, we are not going to take that and die. I read an article yesterday. A dear lady somewhere in Iraq gets a hold of a cell phone. This is the message to the person she called. She don't know who she called because she just went to the person said, I don't know her, that received the call. This is what the message was. Did anybody else read this article? But they called. She said, please have the Allied forces bomb us. She said, I've been raped 30 times today and it's not even lunchtime. They're killing the children. Bomb us. We're all going to kill ourselves anyway. But they weren't. These were Christians. They said, we're not going to recant. We're not. You and I, we said here, and a hangnail will keep us from sharing the gospel. There's people dying. They're coming by the groves. Or some that maybe Christianity never was real, but it becomes real when you're facing the sword. The same power that worked in Paul's day will work in our day. All we need to do is to see the gospel work in power, is to believe it and to share it. It'll still save today. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, when we do these things, when we share the gospel, God does the rest. It's His power. It's His grace. It's His salvation. We just need to tell it. Are we ashamed? Are we going to tell it?